Woman, how does your concern affect me? After an initial reading of today's gospel of the wedding feast of Cana, this question might sound like Jesus is being disrespectful of his mother. I mean, if your mom says, Penelope, please clean your room, or Sylvester, please empty the dishwasher, and your immediate response is, woman, how does your concern affect me? I think your mother should ground you for 3 days, or at the very least, not let you have any dessert for the rest of the night. But we know that Jesus cannot be disrespectful to his mother, because that's a sin against the fourth commandment. Of course, Jesus always and perfectly keeps the commandments. Jesus is always obedient and respectful to his mother. Most importantly, we know that Jesus is God, and because he is a divine person, he can therefore never, ever, ever, ever sin. So there must be something else going on here. If you try to look at other English translations of chapter 2, verse 4, they're no help. In fact, they're even worse. Here's the worst one I found. Your concern, woman, is not mine. Try telling that to your mom tonight without getting punished. The Jerusalem Bible isn't much better. Woman, what do you want from me? Ronald Knox translates it this way. Woman, why dost thou trouble me with that? Clearly, the English is not helpful. So we have to go back to the original language written by St. John, which is, of course, Greek. This Greek phrase in verse 4 is very difficult to translate because it's a Hebrew idiom. In the 400s, St. Jerome translated the Greek literally into Latin. It says, quid mihi et tibi, which means what to me and to thee. Or as the Douay Rheims beautifully translates the Latin of verse 4 of chapter 2, what is that to me and to thee? What is that to me and to thee? What does the bride and groom not having any wine have to do with us? Jesus asks. As we shall see in a moment, the answer is everything. Since St. John began his gospel in chapter 1, it is clear that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to draw a picture of a new creation. St. John is writing a new book of Genesis. The first beginning in the book of Genesis got really messed up through original sin. So Jesus comes to establish a new creation, a new Genesis. St. John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Doesn't that sound like the opening lines of the book of Genesis? In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. It's also important to note that St. John is also counting days, like the book of Genesis. You remember how the Genesis story goes, right? From the Easter vigil? Evening came and morning followed the first day. Evening came and morning followed the third day. Evening came and morning followed the sixth day. St. John does the same thing in the first chapter of his gospel. Verse 29, he says, the next day, oh, well, that's day 2 of the opening week of Jesus' ministry. Then in verse 35, a little later on, he says, the next day, well, that's day 3 of the opening week of Jesus' ministry. And then in verse 43, he says, the next day, well, That's day four of the opening week of Jesus' ministry. You see, he's counting the days, right? Today's gospel unfortunately left out four very important words of verse 1 of chapter 2 that are in every Bible. You know what they are? Verse 1 of chapter 2 begins, "On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee," which, if you've been keeping track, is the seventh day in the opening week of Jesus' ministry. And as you know, there are, of course, 7 days of creation. So St. John begins his gospel with a very clear point. He's setting up a new creation, a new Genesis, a new beginning in Christ Jesus. And in the beginning, there was a man and a woman. We know their names as Adam and Eve, but take a look at the opening chapters to the book of Genesis. They're not named at all, are they? All the scriptures say is the man and the woman. And it was the woman that got the man to do a very, very bad thing. To disobey God. To eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them, do not eat of it or even touch it, lest you die. So do you see what St. John is doing in today's gospel? St. John calls Mary woman to make a very clear reference to Eve, who is only called the woman in the first chapters of Genesis. You see, Mary is the new woman, the new Eve, and Jesus is the new man, the new Adam, in the new creation. And it's Mary, the new woman, the new Eve, that gets the man, the new man, the new Adam, Jesus, not to do a bad thing, but to do a good thing. To work a miracle for the bride and groom, thus officially beginning his public ministry, which will lead, of course, to his death and resurrection. And so Jesus asks his mother, "Woman, what is that between me and thee?" The answer is everything. Because if Jesus works this miracle at his mother's request, it's going to lead to his passion, death, and resurrection. It is as if Mary says, "My dear son, it's time. Your hour is almost here. It's now time for you to begin your 3-year journey to the cross to save mankind from their sins. It's okay, my son. It's time." Or you can listen to the words of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who explains it much better than I do. If Jesus agreed to Mary's request, he would be beginning the hour of his death and glorification. To the cross he would go with a double commission, one from his Father in heaven, the other from his mother on earth. "Woman, what is that to me and to thee?" Everything. Just as the woman Eve got the man Adam to disobey God and drag the human race into sin, so in reverse, in the new creation, the woman Mary gets the God-man Jesus to obey the Father and to do his greatest act of mercy, saving mankind from their sins. And just as we talked about 17 days ago on January the 1st for the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, once again we see in today's gospel that all of the Lord's grace, mercy, and peace come to us through Mary. Jesus does not begin his work of mercy, of saving us from our sins, until he gets the okay from his mom and dad. He gets the okay from his Father in heaven, and the okay from his mom on earth, who the Bible says that Jesus is obedient to. It's Mary who gets Jesus to do great things for us. It's Mary who asks Jesus to work miracles in our lives. Mary's the one, like a good mother, who notices when we're running short of mercy and begs her son to pour out the wine of his grace upon us. Archbishop Fulton Sheen says that Mary speaks only 7 times in sacred scripture. And in today's gospel, we hear her last words, which Fulton Sheen calls her valedictorian speech. Do whatever he tells you. The last time that Mary speaks in the Bible, she says, you see my son over there? Do whatever he tells you. Last October, I had the opportunity to visit a very good priest friend of mine and my classmate in the Diocese of Peoria, who had the unique grace of building a brand new church in Manitou, Illinois, called the Immaculate Conception. And as you come into Immaculate Conception Church in Manitou, my priest friend and classmate had printed in big letters over the main door Mary's last words. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And so as we come into church week after week after week, Mary begs of us like a good mother, you're going to hear my son speak to you today in sacred scripture. And in the words of the priest, my son's representative on earth, do whatever he tells you. As you leave Immaculate Conception Church in Manitou, my classmate had printed in big letters over the main door, so as you leave church, you would see Mary's words at the Annunciation. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Mary herself did exactly what Jesus told her to do. With generous, joyful obedience, she said yes to becoming his mother. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Having heard here in church what Jesus is telling us to do, how can we leave without first responding to him in any other way except in the words of our Blessed Mother, be it done unto me according to thy word. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Amen.